Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Chelios is moving back to Chicago. He made that news public yesterday. I guess I kind of was in the impression he kind of split his time between both cities. I knew he still spent a lot of time in Chicago.
And in L.A.
I never really read, in Malibu. I never really read that his restaurant will remain open, correct?
I would assume so. There was nothing in either story.
Nothing in either story. Obviously, he used to have there was one in Dearborn.
Right,
that changed. Yeah. But the one in Detroit by Comerica Park, I assume, will stay open.
Yeah, it does.
It's always packed on game days, mm-hmm. and it's a great spot to go before a Lions game or a Red Wing game or a Tiger game or a Pistons game now. But Chris Chelios came here back in 1999 as one of the least popular Detroit athletes. We hated Chris Chelios.
Oh, I know.
Sports.
With good reason.
With good reason. He was arch enemy number two behind Claude Lemieux at that
yes.
point in time.
I mean, right up there, yes, no doubt.
And it was very weird. I remember going to that first game. In fact, I may have gone with you to that first game. I forget. Where he was in a Red Wing uniform and after the trade deadline. And there he was, Chris Chelios, playing for the Detroit Red Wings. It was odd.
I know. It was weird. Some people didn't know how to react.
Right, exactly.
I mean, obviously, you cheer for jerseys, so he got applause. Look, it happened the other way twice with Bob Probert and Dennis Rodman going
sure.
to Chicago.
Yeah.
So it obviously does happen, but it is really strange.
One of the strangest stats to me in Detroit sports history is the fact that Chris Chelios played more games for the Red Wings than he played for the Chicago Blackhawks or the Montreal Canadiens.
I know.
Or the Florida Panthers. Or who was it, the Thrashers?
Atlanta Thrashers. And there's a good chance he will not have his jersey retired by either team,
right.
any of the teams he played for.
Right.
Definitely not the Thrashers.
Which I must admit, partly wonder if part of his reason, it sounds like he wants to be closer to his family, and the intimation was that maybe his mother is not in the greatest
correct.
Health, which I totally understand. And I wonder partly, though, if he wants to mend his fences with the Chicago Blackhawks, because if there's one team that would retire his number, it would be the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm not saying they will, but he has a better chance of having his number retired there, where he was team captain
right.
and really a kind of a legend. I mean,
yes.
people in Chicago loved Chelly. And then they didn't like him because he left for Detroit, even though he was traded.
Right. And I remember all those bad things he said about the Red Wings when
yep.
the possibility.
He would never trade.
No way. And
right.
you know what the heck he did it because he didn't like the way old man Wirtz was running the team.
Yep.
With good reason.
So I had two questions for the fans out there, Stoney.
And you're talking to the fans out there?
Talking to the fans out there. Number one is, who's the athlete who you never thought you'd root for, who you ended up rooting for? And number two, who is your least liked player all time on your favorite team? And I'm not talking about a bad player either. It's very easy to dislike bad players. I'm talking about a good player for your favorite team who you begrudgingly rooted for, even if it gave you discomfort. Like, did any Piston fans not like it when Weber was here? Because either you're a Michigan State fan or... you're a Michigan fan. You didn't like how it ended for the Fab Five.
That's a great one. I remember talking to a lot of people because of the altercation or whatever word you want to use. There were a lot of Red Wing fans who were not pleased to root for Todd Bertuzzi.
Oh, yeah. That's a very good one. But I felt like eventually they warmed
yes,
up to him.
Yes, they did, especially the second time he came back. But yeah, at the first, there were people, I remember taking phone calls, we don't want him here, he's a jerk,
yep.
you know, he sucker punched, you know, Moore, he jumped on him and all that kind of, we don't need that kind of crap.
Yeah.
So Todd Bertuzzi would be the one. Look, as far as your second part, you know this from back in the day, for some reason, I had a problem, and I rooted for him, it didn't cause me pain or anything, I was just never a fan of a really good player. And I couldn't figure out why, but Slava Kozlov, to me, he was really good. I just was not a big fan of Slava Kozlov for some strange reason, you know, one of those things, something about him, I don't know, you know.
Right, but Slava Kozlov, that was a somewhat irrational, like.
Well, I know.
I'm talking more like,
okay.
like my ultimate example from my sports life is Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is the greatest player I ever saw play for the Giants. I never saw Willie Mays play for the Giants. But he was, and this is even not even the steroid stuff. It was the jerkiness of it all. And I said to people, because people are like, oh, everybody in San Francisco loves Barry Bonds. It's like, no, they don't love Barry Bonds. They begrudgingly accept him because they know that he's the best player around.
Right.
And they know he's the straw that stirs the drink. And he knows that we have to have him to win. I'm not going to sit here and say when he hit home runs, I went, boo, Barry Bonds, boo.
No.
I liked it when he hit home runs. I liked it when he came up with clutch hits. But he was such an amazing, pompous jerk and a cheat of the game. I always told people, it's kind of hard when you hate the best player on your favorite team.
That's very difficult.
It's very difficult. And I'm sure there are occasions where that has happened. I mean, Paul's mentioned that with Matthew Stafford. How difficult it is for him to root for the Lions when number nine's out there, you know. And it's not so much a personal thing. It's just because Paul believes that Matthew Stafford should not be in the National Football League. So, again, it's nothing personal. It's just more of a kind of rating how he is as a player.
I know. Paul, it's amazing. He's a Dolphin fan. He was very happy that they got Jay Cutler instead of Matthew Stafford.
Oh, absolutely.
Very happy. Yeah, yeah. He thinks Jay Fiedler is one of the great quarterbacks of all time.
Right.
Very underrated. Yeah. Rather have Jay Fiedler than Matthew Stafford.
I asked him one time, better all-time quarterback, Don Strock or Matthew Stafford? And he said Don Strock, which I thought was odd.
I know.
Anyway, 248-539-9797. Athletes who you could never quite root for or athletes who you can't believe you began rooting for. And then kind of begrudgingly respected after a while. Bob in Sterling Heights, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
And Ndamukong Suh, I think, number one, he never really wanted to be here in the first place. And number two, he was like one of the most unsportsmanlike players ever to put on a Lions uniform. You know?
Let me ask you this. When did your dislike for Ndamukong Suh begin? Was it the Thanksgiving Day stomp?
Yeah, that was a big part of it.
I don't disagree with you, Bob.
No.
He was a hard guy to root for because it wasn't just the stomp. If he does the stomp and comes out and goes, guys, listen, I lost it. That was a mistake. I need to be better, and I will be better. Fine.
Oh, he never did that.
No, God, no. He lied. I mean, right. He stood up there, and I was trying to extricate myself from the situation. And then the whole thing where he stomped on Aaron Rodgers, and he said, you know, oh, it was I couldn't feel my feet, so I had no idea where he was. I mean, he is a great player. And the Lions defense was better with him than without him. I'm not denying that. I wish he was still here for a reasonable price, not for what he ended up signing with the Dolphins for. But at the same time, he was and is a jerk.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, it's a fact of the matter. We're talking about Chris Chelios deciding he's going to move out of Detroit, move back to Chicago, be closer to his family. And he is one of the all-time athletes of can't believe I'm rooting for this guy, and then really became a fixture in Detroit. He really is a wonderful guy. I know that. I think Chelios is one of those guys who fans feel like they know because a lot of them do know him because he's so much a fan. He goes to games. He's at his place. I've said for years that one of the things I've always wanted to do on the radio is to play a game where we go down, we interview Chelios, and the question is, does Chelios know him? And then we ask him a series of questions, and then so it'd be like, have you ever met blank?
Right.
And so it'd be like, have you ever met George W. Bush? And then the listeners have to decide whether the answer is yes or no. Because I feel like everybody knows Chelios.
Yeah.
Because
of his, obviously his fame, but he hangs out in California. He trains a lot of people.
Buddies with John McEnroe, John Cusack, the guy from
Ed Norton, I think, as well.
Oh, is he really?
I think Ed Norton. So. Or one of those, you know.
Actors. Jeremy Piven. I mean, he like knows everybody. Obviously, Eddie Vedder. I mean, it's ridiculous. The guy knows everybody. So we're talking about guys who you hated rooting for or guys who you started to love even though you can't believe you ever rooted for them. Like for one of mine, it's not really a guy, it's a team, but I'm sure you were right there with me, Stoney. I couldn't believe I was finding myself rooting for the New York Yankees in the 2001 World Series. But after 9/11, they were like America's team. They'd won the previous, four of the previous five World Series, I think. Yeah. There they were playing the Diamondbacks. I'm like, go Yankees, go.
I didn't hate them, but I would never really root for them.
Seriously?
Yeah.
When they had those two miracle comebacks at the Bronx?
No.
Oh, God. I basically had a Yankee hat on. I was the whole nine yards.
No, it's the Yankees.
The difference between you and me.
Yeah, exactly. You're a good person. I'm not.
I love America.
True.
Tony in Southfield, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tony.
I hope you don't mind me giving two for one because it's hard putting one over the other.
Okay, go ahead.
The two players for me, both Tigers, were Brandon Ange and Max Scherzer. Brandon Ange because he always thought he was better than what he was, and he had this just cult-like fan club. It drove me insane.
Yes.
So I wanted to see him fail. Max Scherzer, because give it to him, he's good. Probably the best pitcher in baseball. But the whole kudos to me and everything about him, he just struck me as a very me-first player. Could not stand him. I still follow him and want him to lose every game and watch.
Really?
Yeah. They're,
yes.
Wow.
There were a few people that thought that because we kind of like picked and choose our sound bites to play, and I kind of blame us for that a little bit. Us in the media at times and sports talk radio. Kudos
you jackals in the media.
Kudos to Max. We used to play all the time. Yeah, because what he and yeah, I get it, but man, he's a great player.
The Brandon Inge thing. I'll say this till the day I die. You don't hate Brandon Inge. You hate the people who love Brandon Inge.
True.
The battle over Brandon Inge in this town, which was raged for years, had less to do with the player himself and more to do with the group of fans who thought he was better than he was,
but
group of fans who thought he was worse than he was.
But part of that, though, was the fact that he was upset that he had to change positions because of, Pudge Rodriguez and Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, but you know what?
That's why.
Okay. I once lost my job to Drew Lane. Drew Lane's one of the greatest broadcasters in the history of Detroit.
I know.
I was still pissed.
You can be pissed, but but he kind of intimated that he was better than them.
I don't think he intimated he was better than them. I believe he said, that's my job, when they acquired Pudge Rodriguez. Well, not anymore, Brandon. That's my job. Well, not anymore, Jamie. Drew's coming back. That happens. I mean, he's still allowed to be pissed.
Yeah,
you know, it's so funny. It's such a double standard. He goes, that's great. I can go back to being a bench player. I prefer that anyway. What a loser. What a pansy. You should want to be out there every single day. Brad on a cell phone. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Jamie and Stoney, really like your guys' show. You guys do a really good job.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Just a couple quick ones. John Spider Sally, who I really enjoy nowadays as a commentator, but back with the Bad Boys, I could not stand that guy. He missed more dunks and gave up more layups than anyone else on the Bad Boys team. I just could not stand that guy back in the day.
That's Stoney's boy.
He was
coming through the phone lines to fight you.
He was a great guy.
Come on. He had shall we say, sex in my bed with some woman once at a party. So I always special place for John Sally in my heart. But seriously, he was a great defender on those teams.
Well,
hustle coming off
blocker,
the bench.
The guy missed more dunks. I'm sorry. Just the last one is, Kenny Rogers, I also loved his competitiveness, but he just seemed like a you-know-what type of an individual. I was not a huge fan, but anyway. Thanks again, guys. I really enjoy your show. Take care.
Thanks, Brad. Kenny Rogers did win the hearts of people because he was a major DB before he got here.
In Texas. He had the whole thing with the cameraman where he threw the camera down. Can I just real quick, can I go back in time like 1 minute?
Yes, please.
I've told that story before.
I like how you set it up, though, because you said, how shall I say, had sex in my bed with a woman. Well, you just said it. There was no.
Well,
it's not like you said, spent an evening in a bed of mine.
I know, but it wasn't, whatever. From what I understand, it wasn't complete sex. Anyway.
Hold on. Get another timeout. Explain.
Do I really have to explain?
So, John Sally, in your bed, was with a woman.
Mm-hmm. And something went on, but I don't think
something went on. Yeah, maybe more like Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky than say.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They didn't consummate the relationship.
Exactly.
Although he might have.
Yes. From what I understand. All right, let's go to the ticket text, please, shall we?
Are there any questions?
Nope.
Do you want to take some calls on that, Greg?
Gary Sheffield.
Can we put up a Twitter poll? What exactly did John Sally do in Stoney's bed?
No, it's not a Twitter poll.
Okay. Can we at John Sally?
No.
Okay.
Gary Sheffield, total jerk. Andrew in Rochester. See, there's a few for Gary Sheffield. I hated cheering for Gary Sheffield. I can't stand the Yankees, and I hated his attitude. Gary Sheffield never liked the guy. He had a great attitude when he was here. If he didn't get hurt, they win that division that year.
The only thing Gary Sheffield did wrong here, in my opinion, and I think this may have biased some people against him, and it wasn't totally his fault either.
Go ahead.
He wore the number 3.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault.
They gave him number 3. They never should have given him number 3. Yeah. He asked for it. He probably didn't realize the history of number 3 here. That I know personally a couple people who the moment he started wearing number 3, it really pissed them
off. I get that. But they gave people chef hats, which I thought was one of the coolest giveaways they ever had.
I thought the giveaway you gave when Sally was at your house was the best giveaway I've heard of.
Todd Bertuzzi, every shift I wish he'd trip and break his neck. Wow.
That's
AI.
That's a little harsh.
AI, biggest Piston mistake. Yeah, a lot of people had a problem, you know, cheering for Iverson.
I didn't have a problem cheering for him until about 3 games in, and then I stopped cheering for him. I thought it was going to be much better than it was.
Jordan Tutu. Yeah, he was kind of a jerk when they played against, you know, the Preds in the playoffs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Robert Lang for the Wings. Seemed like he could care less the whole time.
Bob Long. The Robert Lang era did not work out well in Detroit.
No. Tayshaun Prince, what a big baby. Hi, guys. Rasheed Wallace, hands down. Disliked him very much in Portland and before in college, but it quickly turns when Detroit made the move. Have a good day.
Sheed. That's a great one because Sheed was such a hated player in the league. Came here and obviously was a vital piece of the puzzle. I will say that as I look back on the Rasheed Wallace era, I look back fondly on the championships, fondly on the wins, fondly on the character of Rasheed Wallace, but he still annoyed me in a way.
Because you thought he could have been so much better.
He could have been so much better.
I know. He should have just dominated down low more.
But he loved shooting the threes.
Yes.
Sheed for 3. He got it.
And maybe the last. Maybe
I guess Will Tima never called it.
Yeah,
Pistons
maybe
game.
The last year or so, Sheed turned into Sheed again.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
He just thought he could score everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
Like John Sally.
Right, exactly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.